It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. My next guest is Mazahir Salih. Mazahir Salih is an immigrant from Sudan and a U.S. citizen who just made history, we think. A few days ago, she was elected to Iowa City's City Council, and she's thought to be the very first Sudanese-American elected to government in the country. She joins me now in the studio. Mazahir, welcome to our program.
Thank you. Thank you. Welcome.
Tell me, before we talk a little bit about your political aspirations, tell me a little bit about yourself and your family.
Okay, my name is Mazahir Salih, and I came from Sudan 20 years ago. I lived in Virginia before I moved to Iowa, where I started my family. Married my husband, started my family, and I have now 5 children. All of them, they go to Iowa City school district. And ranging from my youngest one, he go to 3rd grade in Lincoln Elementary School, to my oldest, she's a sophomore at West High.
Wow. So that's quite a range.
Yeah.
Quite a range of ages. 5 children that you have in your family. And how long have you been living in Iowa, in the Iowa City area?
I came 2011, 6 years. And
6 years?
Almost 7, yeah.
Okay. So tell us, what inspired you to run for office for city council?
Yes, my experience as a community organizer and family advocate. I've been dealing with people from different level of education, different level of income, middle-class people. I've been dealing with professor at the University of Iowa. I've been dealing with elected official. I know a lot of issues for those different peoples, but those people are disconnected. And I saw that I can be the bridge builder between those people and bring all their idea and solution to the city council table. Mm-hmm. I'm really passionate about it, and I know the hard work it takes to make this happen at the city level. Mm-hmm. But I think we can do it.
Tell me a little bit more about that, because I think a lot of our listeners will not know specifically what you mean when you say disconnected. Do you mean to say in the Iowa City Coralville area there's sort of two different groups of people? People connected with the university, others who, and I know you work with worker justice, who don't perhaps enjoy the economic benefits that others do?
Yeah, no, I mean like from my experience at the Center for Worker Justice, where a low-wage worker come with issues. You know, when I mean by disconnected, I mean people, they don't know anything about low-wage workers, you know, people who live, and low-wage workers, they don't know anything about policy discussion or laws and city council or board of supervisors or the governmental level. Those people, they don't know anything. That's what I mean by disconnected.
They aren't aware. They're working in this community, but they aren't aware of how things are changed in this community.
Exactly.
To benefit.
And mm-hmm. They never given a chance to have a seat at the table and discuss, because there is many barriers going on in this city. That's why they cannot even do this.
Mm-hmm. What are the barriers?
Many times people say, hey, we need low-wage worker to come and participate and be part of the discussion and come and sit down on the table. But how they can do that? The minimum wage is $7.25, and they have to work 2 jobs so they can have a time to come. Before we can ask low-wage worker to come and sit down on the table of discussion, let us fix the minimum wage. Let us fix the transportation system. A lot of people, they don't have any means of transportation to go to attend city council meeting or even, you know, board of supervisors, city council and the school board, because those specific meetings, they go after hours.
So how will you as a city council person remedy that?
I've been doing this. I've been bringing people together. For the past several years, I brought people together to increase the minimum wage in Johnson County to $10.10. And even after Des Moines reduced the minimum wage to $7.25 back, we still thought, no, our community is more better than that. That's why we started reaching out to businesses door to door. And so far, we convinced 150 businesses in the area to voluntarily committed to, you know, to keep paying for their current and future employee 10-10. I've been bringing people together, and we passed the first community ID on the Midwest. Yes, by bringing people together. That's
bring
what I mean.
People together to talk and to get people who are working perhaps two jobs who don't have the opportunity to go to city council meetings to voice their opinions.
Sure.
To get them to have some extra time so they can be good civic leaders or participants.
I mean. Mm-hmm. And I've been, that's why I can bring people also together to the city council so we can solve problem. I represent those people. I know what they feel, what their issue is. So I know a lot of people are passionate about low-wage workers and they want to support all those people. But when somebody, living with them, feel the pain, and know their issues, I guess they can advocate for them more.
Mm-hmm. Have you felt the pain in affordable housing, for instance, when you first came to this community?
This is my own crisis. The house that I'm living in right now, it took me like months of searches to find this house. It is not affordable. It's not affordable. I know a lot of people in this community, they're still looking for affordable houses, and, they cannot find it. 1,100 people in this community, families, they pay more than 50% from their income, and their income between less than $23,000 a year.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean for a family when a family has to spend 50% or more on housing and utilities?
They don't have time for their children. They work a lot, so to make ends meet. They don't have enough money. They're struggling to buy anything for their house, for their children. And I guess to raise your child right, you need time. If the minimum wage is a livable wage, people will just work one job and have time for their children. They can, start giving time for their children for their homework. They will be succeed at school. And that's what we want to see, because we don't want those families to be kept in the circle of poverty generation after generation.
What is the problem when it comes to affordable housing in your view? Is it the system that is the problem, aspects of the system, or is it landlords with too high of rents? I mean, they're wanting to make a profit off of their investments as well, right?
Yeah, we need to change the way that we're looking for affordable housing, the way that we do affordable housing. We need to design, the affordable housing for the very low-income families.
Okay, if you just joined us, my guest is Mazahir Saleh. She is thought to be the very first Sudanese-American elected to government in the country. She was elected a few days ago to Iowa City's City Council. Let's talk a little bit about the campaign. You were out knocking on doors, going to gatherings, getting to know even more people gathered by your work. I should mention here, too, that you are a full-time community organizer at the Center for Worker Justice. That's a nonprofit in Iowa City.
Yes.
You're one of the founders of that organization. Mm-hmm. You've served as vice president and as president in that organization. Tell me a little bit about what you learned during the campaign when you got to know and ask for the support of the community members of Iowa City.
Yeah, I learned some issues that people really face. Some people are really nice and they welcome me. They start asking me questions. They get to know me from the door. I just learned this community is great. And people welcome me. I have few rejections, but that doesn't count when you find a lot of people start welcoming you, supporting you. At least they would like to learn about you. And if I have people telling me, and when the election and with that election, and I never voted before, I really reach people.
Long-time residents of Iowa City, just oblivious to elections.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And I find people telling me, I'm the first one coming here. And who else running? I found a lot. It was really nice journey, and I like the people that I really visit, and everyone was really at least good and supportive, and I appreciate it.
As you well know, being an immigrant yourself, immigration policy is a very controversial issue in the country right now. It sounds like you experienced overwhelmingly positive responses when you met community members and went out to ask for their support. Were there any negative instances, experiences that you had where someone, because of where you come from, Sudan, or who you are, a Muslim here in Iowa City, that they didn't accept you?
No one talked about it. But I find some people who said, yes, they say, no, thank you, you know, but they did not, no one is exactly said anything about it, about Muslim or exactly, you know, the word Muslim. No one, during my campaign, I didn't get any negative, you know, action, reaction about that at all, you know, or negative comment about being a Muslim. But maybe like just a person with color, you know, person of color and, you know, a low wage workers, when I talk about them, people, some people, they say they just sick and tired from just like their tax go to the, you know, go to the certain people in the community, which is, I don't think it's true. But those people are really few people, and we always go with the majority.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about your kids in school? You have five kids, ranging from very young to high school, your oldest. How do they experience life in Iowa, in the Iowa City area, as an immigrant? They're second generation now immigrants. I assume it sounds like they, since you've been in the United States for 20 years, they were all born in the United States.
Yes, all of them born in the United States. Yeah.
How have they experienced immigrant life? What have you heard from your children? Positive, perhaps negative things as well.
For my kids really like to live here, especially Iowa. When we come new from Virginia to Iowa, I came to study just like any another person who come here and fell in love with Iowa and try, you know, decide to stay. I promise all my friends in Virginia, I will just study and get my certificate and I will come back over there. But, you know, as soon as I came and people start welcoming me and treated me as a neighbor from the first, you know, days, I just decide to stay. And my kids love it. I remember during those few days when my kids misbehave and I want them to behave, I would say, hey, we're going to go back to Virginia if you start doing this, and they will behave again. My kids really love Iowa City too. And they don't experience any like things. They always think themselves just like the other communities here. Mm-hmm. Few things at school when some, you know, they bring like some problem from school when somebody, a child try to accuse them about certain behavior or certain stuff, but not a lot, not something that I really too worried about and say there is something going on. Mm-hmm. No, my kids really love it, and they participate during my campaign really fully.
They were out campaigning with
yes,
you?
Yes, they are out campaigning with me. They my daughter, she kept me organized by putting all the files for the campaign separate from CWJ's files. And she would remind me about like my appointment and all this stuff. And also my husband, he was very, very supportive, cooking for the children, being there for them all the time. He's my number one supporter. Border, of course. And, you know, my children wearing my shirt, we go together in Walmart, so, you know, like five children and I, six people walking. We grab the attention of the people, of course. People start asking us, what's this? Who is Mazahir? And, mm-hmm. you know, all this kind of stuff.
When you approach someone who didn't know you at all, how did you introduce yourself during the campaign?
I guess, like, my name is Mazahir. I'm running for city council. I live in this community for 6 years. I'm from Sudan originally, and this is a few issues that I'm passionate about. And I just ask them if they support someone right now. And they will say, if they support, okay, we're going to talk about it. And, of course, I'm not running. You know, sometimes they say some of the candidate. And I will say, also, I'm running for that. And sometimes they don't know anything about who is running. And I would tell them exactly who is running. That's when the conversation is starting like this. And after that, maybe they're going to start talking about their issues, their own issues. And sometimes they just ask me about myself. Where you come from? How is Sudan? How many children you have? And all they talk about like my personal stuff. And I love it, really.
Yeah.
And I don't mind talking about that.
Did everyone know where Sudan is? Any of the background? Did anybody not get the know what country it is or where what continent it's on?
Some people, they say, like, is Sudan in Africa? And I would say, yes, Sudan in Africa. But most of them, yeah, they know. I guess because of the travel ban, Sudan, one of them. And we have a big protest here in Iowa City. People know about it.
Right. In Sudan, Sudan is the third largest country in Africa. I was reading. Also, your homeland experienced an awful civil war for many years and was divided into the north and the south. Did that civil war with atrocities touch your family at all, your extended family?
I know, actually, because my family from up north in Sudan, you know, they are from a city called Dongola, and an island in the middle of the North Nile River called Magasir. That's the island that my family from. They did not actually been touched by the civil war. Civil war really touched. But in general, civil war just the whole Sudanese from, like, by economic and those kind of things.
So do you still have friends and family in Sudan after being here 20
yes,
years?
I do. I have my... all my cousins, all my family there. I'm the first generation immigrants from Sudan. My brother and my sister, two brothers, one sister in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And my mom, she is also a U.S. She go and come sometimes. She goes to Sudan during winter and come to United States during the summer. Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. And she stayed with me here.
When you talk with someone in Sudan who's never been to the United States or never been to Iowa, what would you most want to tell them about life in Iowa City, in Iowa?
Is the land in the United States, you mean, or you mean just no?
Specifically here in Iowa, how about that?
Yeah, people will ask me, how come they voted for you? And we should, everyone was really close about, you know, close to this campaign. And the social media in Sudan, by the way. This is grabbing all the Sudanese attention.
This campaign here in Iowa has a lot of attention in Sudan.
Yes.
And what did they find fascinating?
It is all the social media in Sudan. They knew about this campaign. They started going to my Facebook. They like it. They share it. And they start taking even some picture from my campaign and create a song and videos. And put it on the YouTube. If you write my name on the YouTube, you're going to find a lot of things created by Sudanese people in Sudan.
For you?
For me, yeah.
Really?
I swear, God, you can go.
We'll have to look that up here. And what are the lyrics? What does it say in the music, the lyrics? Can you remember any of it?
It just say, like, a Sudanese woman is not a weak woman. It just she is... she can capable of doing many things, and it give you like some of the examples, and it will bring my pictures, you know, around like from different cabin, from the homecoming bread, and picture from, you know, you can let him. It's really awesome. Those people, I don't know anything about them.
You're famous in your homeland.
Exactly. I become really well known. I'm famous in my homeland.
When was the last time you were back to Sudan?
I was in. I went to. Bring my mom on March here to Sudan. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes, recently, like this year.
Get ready. The next time you're back, you may be greeted by crowds at the airport.
Exactly. Maybe.
As a Muslim in a predominantly Christian country, how does your faith inform your politics, or does it?
You mean as a Muslim?
How does your religion inform your politics? And will you bring that into your work in any way, the values you have as a Muslim woman?
As a Muslim woman, we believe in neighbor. We believe in elderly. We believe on, truth, to be truthful and make a right judgment. It is not who's not going to – it's supposed to, like, benefit everyone. And make sure everyone is included. We have all those value. You know, I have it and I will bring it while I'm working and making decision because I believe in those value. And I think this is what make me even stronger when I try to dodge on things or try to vote on things or something like that. Yeah.
You have five kids. You and your husband have five children in Iowa City. Now you've got this other full-time job. You were now at the... in the city council, how are you going to manage it? Do you see that it's going to change your lifestyle into a very full, busy life, right?
Even if I wasn't being elected, I will find something else to keep myself busy because this is my lifestyle, all the time. As when I asked my husband about the first time when I told him, hey, I'm thinking to run, and I want his opinion on that. He said, okay, yeah, you can do that. I said, but maybe it's going to take me more time. Are you okay with that? He said, even if you don't, like, if you did not run, you're going to find something. I know you are. That's why I just go and do it if you're passionate about it.
Sounds like you and your husband are a real team.
Yes. Yeah, we are, really. And we know how to manage everything together. We keep my kids, like doing everything as it should be. And also, we involve them in doing something a lot, thing on the house. And we make them part of our life. And everybody have a role in the family so we can keep moving on.
Yeah. Mazahir Sali, thank you for joining us. From Sudan, originally, a few days ago, elected to Iowa City City Council, thought to be the very first Sudanese-American elected to government in the country. People have been speculating about this. Do you know if that's true?
Yes, that's true. I knew it through Sudan because people in Sudan start talking about it. Here in the United States, all the Sudanese in different states, they reach out to me and they congratulate me. Yesterday, I have a conference call with some group all over the United States, and it's been grabbing a lot of attention, people, and they start talking to me. Some people, they just want me to start telling them about my story. How did I get to this point, and how I can encourage immigrants to get to this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, again, congratulations, and thank you for this conversation.
Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me today here. Thank you.
River to River is produced by Lindsay Moon, Emily Woodbury, and Ben Stanton. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.